Moscow Wayne, welcome back to Radio Times. Philadelphia is known for many things. Its history, its culture, neighborhoods, cheesesteaks, parks, and its thriving geek scene. Tech groups have been springing up all over the place. Geek events are thriving, and makerspaces have been finding homes in neighborhoods across the city. Well, we wanted to know more about the geek scene in Philadelphia and asked two geeks to join us on Radio Times. Eric Smith and Mikey Illigan are here to tell us all about Philadelphia geek style. And Eric Smith is an author, blogger, gamer, publisher, and lives and works here in Philadelphia. He's the social media manager at Quirk of Books, co-founded Geekadelphia.com, and co-founder of the Philly Geek Awards. And if that weren't enough, he is the author of a book published most recently called The Geek's Guide to Dating. And Eric Smith, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Also with us is Mikey Illigan. He's an interactive designer, a lifelong Philadelphian, also editor of Geekadelphia.com, and one of the organizers of the Philly Geek Awards. And Mikey, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as
well.
Hi,
Mikey. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And I should make this note, NewsWorks is one of the media partners of the Philadelphia Geek Awards. And if you're counting, we'd love to know how many times we're going to say the word geek during this hour of Radio Times. Well, let me start with you, Eric Smith. What makes you a geek?
Oh, man. Well, all the sort of pursuits that I've had almost my entire life, my love of books, my love of video games, my recent love of comic books have sort of become an integral part of my life and who I am. So that's definitely what it is that classifies me as a geek. You know, I take these passions and I make them my career.
How about for you, Mikey? What makes you a geek?
I would say the same. My passions are clearly evident. I'm just really into technology, video games, fiction, all sorts of things like that, even really strange things. I mean, I have an odd fascination with cars and food and stuff like that as well.
Well, what's an odd fascination with cars? Aren't you like every other American male in this country?
I would say so, yeah, but I really geek out over it.
Oh, you do? What do you geek out over?
The style, manufacturing, the technology behind it, especially the kind of convergence of tech, you know, with smartphones and what manufacturers are doing with that today.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it's technology, but it's also passion and, I guess, being very knowledgeable about things. Is that sort of a fair assessment, Mike? Excuse me, Mikey.
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily – Eric and I happen to be into tech, but I feel that anyone who's extremely passionate about something can be classified as a geek or have, you know, resemble one. You know, we're not particularly into science or biology,
right?
But those are clearly geeks as well.
You see it that way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We definitely surround ourselves with the science geek folk, especially with our Philly Geek Awards at the Academy of Natural Sciences.
Yeah, there you go. But do you have a name for people who aren't geeks?
Like
normals or something like that?
Is there a word for, like, not my friends?
I like calling them muggles, like in Harry Potter.
Or, the muggles?
Or now Mundies from a graphic novel called Fables.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
So.
But I mean, are you kind of a select group? Do you not talk to normals or muggles? I mean, do you see them as sort of the other?
No, I think we do. I think one of the great things about being a geek is that, you know, we're passionate about these specific things, and we want other people to share these passions. It's why so many of us are on social media and have blogs and all these outlets where we try to push the stuff we care about out into the world. So I don't think we'd exclude them. We'd just try to make them one of us, assimilate them like the Borg that we love so much.
Yeah.
And what makes Philadelphia, Mikey, though, such a sort of a geek-centric city, do you think?
I think the city has done a lot, I guess, in recent years, attracting new technology, companies that do technology, people just interested in technology. I think if you're interested in tech or the sciences or even healthcare or anything like that, and these are things you're passionate about, Philadelphia is a good place for it.
And you can afford to live here the way you can't afford maybe San Francisco or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we don't have $4 toast bars or whatever is going on over there.
Well, see, because I've always thought of myself as a nerd, and there's this joke that public radio is radio by nerds for nerds. And I'm a nerd, I think, because I like a lot of the things that you like, but I don't know how to turn my TV set on. But, you know, nerds, I think, are also sort of passionate, but sort of goofy and dorky and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Were you, though, I mean, and I also think of nerds and geeks and dorks as being the sort of outcasts of high school. I don't know whether you were that or not, Eric.
I felt a little like that when I was growing up. Like, it was definitely my best friend Miguel and I sitting on the back of the bus reading Game Pro magazine, which isn't even around anymore. But now it's definitely a cooler thing these days than it was when I was a kid.
Yeah, how about for you, Mike?
I'd say there isn't so much of a stigma associated with it anymore. It's become chic, if you will. So some people, you know, there's all the sort. There's even, I think, an MTV show called Revenge of the Nerds. I mean,
yes.
It's very popular to some people. You know, that's a negative thing. But, you know, to me, why not? I mean, if people are really passionate about a particular subject or hobby or an interest, and it comes to define a greater part of them, there's nothing wrong with that to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like, I mean, Steve Jobs, wouldn't he be a good example of someone, I mean, a fellow geek?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And even kind of change the world that we live in.
Yeah, and even going back, I credit Ben Franklin as our original Philadelphia geek.
Yeah.
Totally,
so.
Totally. Why did you write this this dating book? And I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed it, Eric.
I
got a couple of laughs out of it as well.
Well, I've been writing about geek culture here in Philadelphia and in other places for a while now. And I just started dating this wonderful new woman. And I was talking about her a lot on social media and on Facebook. And my editor caught wind of it. And he's like, you know, you're saying all these really funny, cute, insightful things about this new girl you're dating. And you write about geek culture. Could you do a geek dating book? And I was super excited about the idea. And after a couple weeks of working on sample chapters and ideas, the book started to come together.
But would it be fair to say that geeks are socially awkward? I mean, you write the book as, you know, gamer one looking for gamer two.
I've always kind of thought that geeks are social creatures by nature. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we have these passions. We want to share them with people. We talk to people. You know, you look at conventions, you know, that everyone descends upon these conventions to hang out with their people. You look at MMORPGs. I know Mikey plays a lot of them. You know, you get together in groups of people. Right. You play these games. So I don't know. I guess it depends on the person in terms of the social awkwardness.
What do you think, Mikey?
I'd say, like any other stereotype, it doesn't necessarily represent the whole.
Well said.
I like to joke around about the fact that I'm incredibly socially awkward. Some people like to argue with me. I think by nature I'm extroverted.
Right.
And I think when it comes to geeks, nerds, whatever you want to call it, there's introverts are probably a little bit more predominant. But that doesn't make them any less social than other people.
But you think you are socially awkward?
Sometimes. I don't know. Maybe sometimes I believe it enough to make it happen.
There you go. Well, here's something I underlined in your book, Eric, about minutia recall. And this is the idea of, you know, you're selecting your character, you're looking for your the other player, and you write stats, facts, rules, secret identities, scientific principles. Every geek carries around an assortment of these in his head, being able to retrieve them when you need them, though, is a skill not all geeks possess. And then you talk about how to use them wisely. Don't use this talent to, quote, spit out numbers and factoids like you're some kind of Vulcan robot hybrid. Show off your knowledge of obscure subjects she doesn't care about. Prove that you're always right.
And yeah, words to live by. Do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that could be applied across the board. To,
oh, yes.
To not just geeks.
Yes.
But the idea of knowing things and being passionate about that and wanting to share them as well. Does it get geeks in trouble, do you think?
I think it does when it comes to social media sometimes. I mean, like, we watch our friends get a little riled up over spoilers all the time on the internet, you know, like watching a movie or TV show or spouting out quotes from something that people haven't quite seen yet.
Right.
But because we're geeks, we're early adapters and adopters, rather, and, you know, might ruin things for other people.
Without meaning to, of course.
Yes.
How important is gaming for you, Mikey?
I try to make it actually more important than it had previously been in the past few years.
Something you're working on?
Yeah, something I'm working on. It's something that kind of fell to the wayside, high school, college, and other real-life responsibilities. But now I'm trying to place it higher in my life.
And what does that mean? Like
just
extra homework? Or?
Yeah, definitely. You know, trying to set aside more time to actually, you know, have fun and enjoy something that I used to enjoy a lot.
And you and your fiance game together.
We do. We try to. So, you know, past few months I've actually built a PC for myself and a PC for her so we could play some games. Really into all sorts of things. So
you built it?
Yeah. Well,
from scratch?
Well, not the components, but I assembled, you know, the hard drives, motherboard, processor, things like that. I ordered all the parts and built it to spec. Specs I defined myself.
And you're a gamer as well, right?
Yes, but I could not build a computer.
I'm very impressed.
Yeah. Yet.
and do you play with your, is she your fiance now?
Yes. Yeah, she's more of a, I'll sit down and watch you play a video game type, but I always try to make sure it's a game that she actually wants to watch. Like, we played Bioshock Infinite, quote-unquote, together.
I don't know what that is. What is Bioshock Infinite?
Oh, it's just this really interesting, really powerfully story-driven game that takes place in this city in the sky, and there's all kinds of issues about, like, class and race in the game that makes it really interesting and not like a normal go-here-and-shoot-this kind of video game. So, you know, we'll play games in that way together.
This is a personal question, but were you looking for another geek to fall in love with, Eric?
No, you know, finding someone that was specifically into my interest really wasn't that high up on my, right, I guess, list of things I was looking for. You know, I like meeting people I can share new things with, and she was definitely one of them.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah, she was the person I met while I was writing the book.
Oh,
yeah.
How nice is that? Did you use some of your guidance here?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, like, I think that was my favorite thing that came out of writing the book, was I feel like it ended up making me a better boyfriend. And, yeah, it made it worth writing.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things you say is, and I think this should be for everybody, know yourself. I mean, know who you are before you go out hunting for that other person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how about for you, Mike? How did you find your girlfriend?
We met through a mutual friend, and I think we clicked just because we were into a lot of similar things. At the time, I was really into photography and food, and she had a food blog, and she was also into photography. And just generally speaking, all the friends I've made in Philly for the past couple of years, we were all kind of clustered together just due to our mutual interests, video games and things like that. So these days, Allie and I have a lot in common. We have a lot of similar friends. She's more on to, you know, there are things that she's into that I'm not into, and vice versa. So, but we can share things like games and movies and film and video games and art.
Sounds like you're into everything, I have to say.
I'm into too many things that I can handle. That's
that
right? For sure.
That's just your nature to be curious about.
I'd say
a
so.
Lot of things.
Yeah, I think earlier you were saying, you know, knowledge to a fault to a bad thing. Yeah, I mean, in my personal life, if I sit online reading some arbitrary article about something, that is not doing me too well when I don't get enough rest.
You know, it's funny. I think one thing geeks really try to do is, like, we'll find something new and interesting, and we'll try to become the best we can at it, like, immediately. We want to be these experts. And, you know, speaking of Mikey's friend, I feel like he's really one of them, because, you know, he got into running, and all of a sudden he's doing marathons, like, a couple months later. And he got into photography, and now he knows everything.
Well, let's take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation. We're talking about the thriving geek scene here in Philadelphia, talking with two geeks, Eric Smith and Mikey Illigan. And we want to hear from you, the fellow geeks in the audience. We'll take some calls from nerds as well, or maybe even wonks. Give us a call. Our engineer is just shaking his head. He's looking at me shaking his head. 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Support for WHYY comes from Beck Institute, internationally recognized source for cognitive behavior therapy, welcoming clients to their Center for Psychotherapy in Bella Cynwyd. Established by Dr. Judith Beck and Dr. Aaron Beck, founder of cognitive behavior therapy, Beck Institute provides effective treatment for challenges including depression, anxiety, stress, and relationship problems. Details at beckinstitute.org or 610-664-3020.
Later today on This American Life.
It was about 6 o'clock in the morning, woken by knocking at the door. Consistent knocking, you know, the hard knocking. So I knew something.
He was a small business owner, had a young family, coached his kids' football team, church going.
They had the AR-15 style machine-looking guns.
A regular guy.
I said, hey, man, you got the wrong person.
Except for one thing.
He said, no, you're the right person.
It's later today.
Tonight at 10 on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, we'll speak with the linguist behind the New York Times dialect quiz. How many ways are there to say sun shower?
So, for example, the devil beating his wife, which you find in the south of the U.S., is also found in Burgundy and France.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
this afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen. We are talking about Geekadelphia, Philadelphia, home to the original American geek, Benjamin Franklin. Today, there's a thriving geek scene in the city. And when you think about it, geeks are kind of taking over the country. Think of all the technology innovators, the popularity of things like TED Talks, the focus on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. We have two geeks here talking about geek culture. Eric Smith co-founded Geekadelphia and the Philly Geek Awards. He's the author of The Geek's Guide to Dating. Michelangelo Mikey Illigan is editor of Geekadelphia and one of the organizers of the Philly Geek Awards. This note, Newsworks is one of the media partners of the Philly Geek Awards, and we have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at either WHYY Radio Times or at Marty Moss Cohen. In fact, we did get an email from Mike, not you, Mikey, saying wonk is not geek. Jeez. Can we throw wonk in here too? Do you think, Mikey?
I'm not familiar with the term.
Oh, you never heard of wonk?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that a magazine?
I feel so old. Wonk is, you know, someone that likes facts back in the day, we thought of Bill Clinton as a very wonky president because he could talk about obscure economic theories
we derive wonky?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The more you know.
There you go. You learn something on Radio Times. Also, a tweet from Kyle. Is there a difference between people who play video games and people who write video games?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Is it Kyle Cassidy?
I don't know if that's Kyle Cassidy.
It was Kyle Cassidy.
Yeah, All right. Yes, three thumbs up. Well, what do you think, Eric? Is there a difference?
You know, it's funny. I feel like there are some indie developers here in Philly that I'm close friends with that write and program video games but don't play as many as us gamer types do. You know, they're more into certain specific kinds of titles. So I don't know if I really know
Depends on the person. There are some people who play video games and read books, and you know that kind of just lives where they want it to be, or they play so many games they want to create their own. They read so many books they want to write their own. They're really inspired, or they really want to. Maybe if they don't want to create, they want to absorb as much as they want or as they can. You know, to a degree that we can't even measure.
But, I mean, what a great time to be a geek because you can learn so much. I mean, it's just at your fingertips, right?
We learned the word wonk.
We did.
Yeah. Also, Kevin Griffin, our engineer, wanted to ask you about women being geeks. He didn't think the word geek was a very romantic word to use for women. You're the dating expert here, Eric. What do you think about that?
Well, I feel like there's an enormous geek girl community that absolutely embrace the word. One of my favorite websites, the Mary Sue, is a fantastic example of a geek girl community that have really taken the word as their own and, you know, really defend the fact that they are who they are.
Right.
Yeah, I think old stigmas are going away. You know, like I think we covered the whole social awkwardness aspect,
yes.
And I think that's really, you know, dependent on the individual. And I think when it comes to, you know, terms like geek and nerd, I think there's no limitation on gender or sexuality, anything like that.
Let me go back to Philadelphia, and it does seem like there's a very strong geek, nerd, wonk community here, just to add another word to our discussion. And I'm assuming, you know, once you have a certain number of people, then other people from other cities might be attracted to come and live in the city.
Eric? Yeah, that'd be great. You know, that's one of the things we really wanted to do with the Philly Geek Awards, you know, is to showcase all these amazing people doing great things and hopefully draw some attention into what's going on here.
And I looked at some of the winners from last year. When you think about the awards, what do you want to award people for, Mikey?
Creativity, passion. Those are the first two words that come to mind.
Right. Mm-hmm. And for you as well?
And doing great things for the community, you know, like really, really benefiting the Philly local geek community.
And when geeks get together, I mean, are there certain things that you like to talk about? Or is it depending on what sort of geek niche you're in?
Yeah, I guess it depends on
current events. I'm talking to you like you're not human beings.
Yeah.
I apologize for that.
I think things tend to be very topical, especially with what you were saying and things being at your fingertips and the internet the way it is. Yeah.
And they get very passionate very quickly.
Yes. Yeah. So it could be, you know, the new season of Game of Thrones. Absolutely. Or some sort of weird science discovery, or, you know, it could be anything.
Let me see. Looks like we have a bunch of callers here as well. We have, looks like Sherry from Princeton joining us on Radio Times. And Sherry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am a NPR nerd foodie mom.
You go.
I have a 14-year-old. Totally technical, geeky son. He just built his own computer, but he's not a gamer. He's more like a tested, Mythbusters kind of dude. And when he speaks to me, I don't even know what he's talking about. So I was wondering if you had any suggestions on how I could maybe learn a little bit more or get a little bit more excited about these things that he tells me. We do call him Factoid Boy. He does that a lot. So I just wanted to see if you had any suggestions or guidance for me.
Well, I always think as a mom, you ask a lot of questions. If there are things you don't know, you know, have your child teach you about the world that he's obviously so passionate about. Maybe, Eric, you could do a kind of a translation book or something for parents.
Yeah, and I would also, you know, get up on reading a lot of the bigger geek blogs. Like, I feel like Boing Boing is a great resource for that. One of the co-founders, Mark, talks a lot about you know, books for teenagers and things you can do with your kids. Wired used to have a couple of blogs called Geek Dad and Geek Mom, and they still exist. They're just not connected to Wired anymore, and they talk about those things a lot. Those might be some good spots.
Yeah, Google that. Mikey, anything you want to add to that?
There's just something I've noticed about geeks in general, and probably geeks of his age, is that they're, you know, really passionate people, and they're really inspired. And I think as he gets older, he might be able to explain some of these things. And I think, first of all, you know, good on you. You raised a good son. And just, you know, keep interested in what he's doing and try to learn a little bit more. It's not always easy. And, you know, I think a lot of people always say, like, oh, the previous generation doesn't get this, that, and the other thing. But I think as long as you're motivated to stay interested in, you know, into what he's doing, then I think everything will work out.
Sherry, thanks for the call to Radio Times. We have a tweet from Bill. Nerds do humanities and medicine. Geeks do engineering and music. That's his definition. Eric, do you think that's true?
That's interesting. Maybe. I mean, nerds are, you know, usually labeled as the, like, more intellectual types when it comes to that sort of thing. But I don't know. I feel like I know so many geeks that are very, you know, medical and science-oriented. There's a thing in Philly called, like, Ignite Philly.
Yes.
And people come up and they give, like, TED-style quick talks. And I've seen a lot of scientists and medicine-type stuff come through there.
Yeah. I mean, do you put nerds in the humanities arts category, Mikey?
Like Eric was saying, I think nerds typically have, you know, are typically characterized as being more intellectual, scientists, engineers,
I think it was the other way around. Yeah.
The other way around. Yeah. But I think they're not so much, you know, these isolated bubbles of what defines a person. I think they're just more descriptors of what I think nerds can be geeky and vice versa.
Mm.
Let me quickly reintroduce you. That's Mikey Illigan, and he's an interactive designer, a lifelong Philadelphian, the editor of the Geekadelphia.com, one of the organizers of the Philly Geek Awards. He joins us along with Eric Smith, the social media manager at Quirk Books, co-founded Geekadelphia.com and co-founded the Philly Geek Awards, and he's got a new book called The Geek's Guide to Dating. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet either to @WHYY Radio Times or @MartyMossCoAim. I do think it's interesting, Eric, that there are these sort of maker groups in Philadelphia and taking over buildings and creating spaces where people can create things together.
Yeah.
Is that sort of part of geek culture?
Oh, absolutely. Where did Next Fab Studio set up on where did they set up? I don't really
Washington.
Yeah.
Avenue. Yeah.
Down in South Philly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful space to check out. And they are definitely some geeky types doing awesome things. They made this during the, you know, we've had all the terrible snow here in Philly, and they made I'm not going to be able to say what the shape is, but it's like a dodeca something shape geometry thing. It looks like a giant star that they were using to mash together snow and putting these stars around Philly. And, like, that's a geeky thing. Right?
Yeah, that's a very cool and geeky thing.
Mm-hmm. Temporary public art with the snow. It's amazing. Yeah.
Do you think Mayor Michael Nutter is a geek, Mikey?
See, it's... I know the politician, Michael Nutter, but on a personal level, I can't say I've gotten to know him. So right. I am not sure.
Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I feel like he's been, like, involved. Like, I always see him, like, on social media, like, being kind of involved with, like, what the geeks are doing. But yeah, I don't really know him.
We have a tweet from Joe. Nerds and geeks shouldn't be separate. We're all awkward, passionate people.
Oh, I like that, Joe.
I agree with that 100%.
Do you? Yeah,
I do.
Awkward. I mean, you don't seem particularly awkward to me.
Had a lot of coffee, so maybe that helped things along.
Does that help to calm your nerves?
In a strange sense, yes.
the sort of reverse effect.
Yeah.
Awkward and passionate.
Yeah, I agree. I like that.
Awkward depends on context.
Yes. Yeah. We also have, looks like, Harry from Northeast Philadelphia joining us on Radio Times. And, Harry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, I'm a blind person. I use access technology, screen readers, refreshable braille displays, scanners, Kurzweil reading machine.
Oh, sure.
Systems made by Kurzweil. I find it very exciting when I happen to meet people who are just like naturally talented with configuring hardware, software, troubleshooting, that sort of thing. For the life of me, it's not within my ability or expertise. I try to learn as I go. I've had tech support from my phone carrier, as well as I had to call Microsoft. They were almost useless.
Oh, interesting.
But once I started tinkering with some of it myself, I was able to resolve some of it. The newest versions of Windows 7 is all web-based, so screen readers, it's all ribbon. It's not like word processor.
Sure.
You know,
well, Harry, no, I appreciate the call to Radio Times, and I do think we live in just the most exciting age when it comes to technology. Here's Harry, who's blind and is able to stay connected to the world because of all these cool tools.
Yeah, it's definitely something to be excited about, you know, and accessibility and user experience and the way it relates to technology is one thing that, I've had an interest in, something I wish I knew more about, honestly.
Were you a kind of kid growing up that, you know, I don't know, did they have radios back then?
They did.
would take apart stuff and put it back together? Was that sort of your natural
too press? Often taking things apart to see how they worked? Definitely. Right. That definitely describes me.
And were you a good student in school?
Good enough, yeah.
Good enough.
No, I was probably selling myself short. Yes, I was always typically a good student.
A good student.
Yeah.
And how about for you?
Yeah, I was a decent student. I was terrified of math. I still can't do math.
Really?
Like algebra, no. But when it came to books and writing, that was more my thing.
But it is. I mentioned STEM. You know, science, mm-hmm. technology, engineering, math, and everyone is now focusing on that. That these are the kinds of skills that students are going to need to have to be able to get a job and solve all the problems that we have created. But I think of those as sort of geeky subjects. Do you, Eric?
Yeah. I think if that was around when I was a kid, I'd be more of just st. You know, like I think I'd
miss
the E and the M. I don't know, maybe.
How about for you? I mean, were you a good student all around?
Yeah, I'd say for the most part. I think I actually struggled in the areas that maybe Eric excelled when it came to reading and comprehension, which is why I'm an editor-in-chief now.
Right.
It was excellent. But yeah, I think I was always more into on the science-technology end of things.
We have a tweet from Connor. Don't forget the Philly music geeks. That's why we have amazing concerts. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Jump Philly over at Temple are doing great things in terms of trying to wrangle everyone up and, you know, 215.
What is Jump Philly doing?
Oh, Jump Philly, they're a magazine that comes out of Temple University, and they also have a lovely website, and they promote all the sort of the local independent musicians that might not otherwise get larger press, and they're great at what they do.
Yeah. Lately, I've been trying to take on some writers for Geekadelphia that are experts in things that Eric and I, you know, may not have a focus on anymore, and music's one of them, theater, the arts.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, we also have like a thriving chiptune scene, which is musicians that take, you know, video game music and make 8-bit songs out, and it's just fantastic. And there's a thing called 8static where all these chiptune music geeks get together and sort of celebrate that 8-bit music stuff, and I just love it.
That's great. What was the thinking behind Geekadelphia? And you're one of the co-creators.
Yeah, so my pal Tim and I, it sort of sprung out of boredom, you know, and we wanted to do something fun and interesting. He had a suit of stormtrooper armor, which is something, you know, guys like us have. And he would run around Philly, and I would take videos of him, and we wanted a place to put these silly videos and talk about the things that we cared about, and that's sort of how it sprung to life. And it changed our life, and it was great.
How so? I mean, just because it opened up this world, this community?
Yeah, it opened up this world, opened up all these new friends to us. It was really funny, like the first couple of posts on that blog, Tim had talked about a place called Punk Ave, where he always wanted to work. And I talked about Books from Quirk, where I always wanted to work. And then 4 years later, we were working there.
Oh, wow. And I read that Third Street is really Nerd Street.
Nerd Street, yeah.
What makes Third Street Nerd Street?
Well, Indie Hall is over there. Mm-hmm. A lot of our friends work in there. It's a co-working space where lots of geeks are doing really cool things. Quirk is over there. App Renaissance, who are developers, and WebLink is right above National Mechanics.
A lot of cool things happening in Old City, including the Philly Game Forge. Some of those folks over there used to co-work at Indie Hall, and now they co-work over at the Philly Game Forge, which is dedicated to gaming. Wow. And co-working in different game studios work together.
Do geeks still like Star Wars? Even the later movies that are so bad.
they hurt us a little.
Did it hurt you a little bit?
A little bit.
Just to see that franchise kind of.
Yeah, we'll see what happens next. But, you know, I think they're in somewhat capable hands with J.J. Abrams, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see. But they're also owned by Disney now, so we'll see about that.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But I really like what Disney's been doing lately, so.
And the thinking behind the dating book, as you said, this really came from your job and the idea of putting together a dating book for geeks. But do you think geeks in particular need help more than other people in this crazy dating scene?
I don't think so. I think we're, you know, sometimes we're awkward, but we're very social. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always surrounded by people that share our interests. Mm-hmm. I think we're okay. We're doing all right.
You're doing all right. All things
both concerned. Of us are engaged. You know,
so yeah. There you go. I mean, there are
the book
some,
works.
Yeah,
really. But there are stereotypes, right, that you have to live with about geeks, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, sometimes the media doesn't really help that much.
Well, I was wondering about that.
You know, Big Bang Theory, the example of that. Yeah. We all aren't like that.
There's some people who really love that show, and to be honest, I don't really like
no
it.
No, either.
Why not?
It's the canned laughter, and it's just like there are some things that really make me laugh, and there's a lot of references that I do understand, but it's just that, you know, what's that genre of TV show? That whole genre of TV show I just am not really into. Like, you know, that's just not my thing.
Well, let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation. That's Mikey Illigan, and he's an interactive designer and editor of Geekadelphia.com, one of the organizers of Philly Geek Awards. Eric Smith, also with us, author, blogger, gamer, publisher. He's the social media manager at Quirk Books, co-founded Geekadelphia.com, and co-founded the Philly Geek Awards. Again, this note, Newsworks, one of the media partners of the Philly Geek Awards, and we are talking about geeks in Philadelphia. Taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, or send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times or at Marty Moss Cohen. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Nightmares become reality when the justice system fails, thrusting innocent people into the depths of the prison system. Delaware Theater Company supports WHYY and presents the Philadelphia regional premiere of The Exonerated, shocking stories of six innocent death row inmates released from prison after their convictions were overturned. Taken from actual interviews and infused with hope, The Exonerated follows their journey to the truth, now through March 9th, 302-594-1100 or DelawareTheater.org.
On the next Fresh Air, we get an ear cleaning from Trevor Cox, an acoustic engineer who has pioneered ways of improving the sound in theaters and recording studios. His new book explains sonic wonders of the world, like waterfalls, thunder, ringing rocks, the echoes in a Victorian-era sewer, and some sounds we can't hear, like bat sonar. Join us.
This afternoon at 3, and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
From the classics of the British stage to the recognizable oddities of British manners, he's done it all.
It's an unlucky child that doesn't get to go and see a pantomime when they're very, very young. All the elements of theatre are there.
A conversation with actor Sir Ian McKellen next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoing. As we know, Philadelphia is known for many things now, including its thriving geek scene. And our guests are part of this geek scene, Eric Smith and Mikey Illigan. And again, taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. We have a tweet from Benny. Can you ask them if they think Philadelphia has potential to become the Eastern Silicon Valley? I guess the Silicon Valley of the East. Do you think that's possible, Eric?
It's an interesting question. I don't see why not. You know, it costs a lot less to live here. That's absolutely for certain. And there's already really cool people doing amazing things in the city. So I would welcome that as long as the rent doesn't go up.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's always that fine line. How about for you, Mikey?
Thinking about it, I might have to play bad cop, Eric.
No, you can do it.
I have some concerns. My thing is you know, would becoming the East Coast Silicon Valley, what would that look like? You know, would it change our culture? Would it drive up rent prices? Those are things that, you know, we'd have to be sure don't change, because those are things that we like about Philadelphia, and people have a very vibrant culture here, a very passionate one. That one, you know, so if we were to become an East Coast Silicon Valley, I guarantee it wouldn't look anything like the West Coast one.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it is a more sort of DIY, would you say, around here? I mean, people are sort of the, you know, the bottom up as opposed to the top down. I don't know. I'm just making that up.
I feel like I've seen that with some of the geeks I know here in the city. You know, it's all about starting something and creating something new.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Making things. Right?
I've seen a lot of DIY, but I've also seen a lot of companies come in.
Right.
So.
Right. We have a email from Steph. Philly has become a surprisingly friendly place for women in the tech scene, and I want to acknowledge the fact that Geekadelphia is one of the cultural drivers here. She thanks you for that. One thing that has consistently bothered me about a big chunk of what people call geek culture is that it can be so dependent on products. Do they have movie franchises, video games, animation? Do Eric and Mikey have any thoughts about that? I guess the idea that you make a product and then it becomes this franchise. Is that worrisome to you, Eric?
Oh, I don't know. That's a hard question. Oh, but first, thank you for her compliment. That's wonderful. Thank you, Steph. But yeah, I don't know. When it comes to products and stuff, I feel like I might be part of that problem. You know, because I get
you just made a book, right?
Yeah, I get really excited over, you know, when a comic book franchise spans out and has an awesome movie. You know, I was just getting really psyched up about the Guardians of the Galaxy film.
Yeah, same here. Right before we came in.
Yeah, right before we got here.
Well, yeah, I mean, I look at that in two different ways. On one hand, like Eric said, I'm not contributing to the solution because for example, the company Blizzard Entertainment makes any video game of any kind, no matter how bad it is, I will buy 10 copies. There's just certain
just
companies.
The way you are.
This is the way I am. But on the other, you know, the other hand, it's like, you know, the non-materialistic side of me looks at it, it's like, oh, American consumerism, here we go.
Well, you're not alone in that struggle over things that we care about.
Definitely an internal conflict.
Yeah. Do you go to Comic-Con?
Oh, yes. I go Philly Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, Chicago Comic-Con.
Really?
I go there for work, but I also go there for lots of fun. It's a great time. I like dressing up. And,
what do you dress up as?
Well, I have a suit of Master Chief armor from the video game Halo. I have a Rocketeer costume that's almost done, and Quark put out a book called William Shakespeare Star Wars, so I have a Shakespearean stormtrooper that I like to put on.
Does steampunk fit into geekdom?
Yes.
You know?
I'm not sure how to categorize it, but yes.
Right. Yeah. Well, because it uses technology, sort of mixing it with sexy Victorian garb.
It's alternative history type of thing, and I feel like a lot of geeky publishers are putting out books that definitely fall into that category, like Tor and the Cherry Priest Clockwork Century series.
Yeah. We have another. I do want to get to our callers, but I'm trying to keep up with the emails in my little box here. Email from Peter. How do hipsters and geeks relate, if at all? Would a geek reject being labeled a hipster?
Oh,
a very loaded question. Mikey?
I don't know if anyone really embraces being labeled a hipster.
Yeah,
kind
that's
of just
kind
deal
of a dated
it.
Word yeah. as well. Almost as bad as wonk.
like Eric had previously said, I mean, it's just, you know, one of those terms that the media has really latched onto, to the point of what does that even mean anymore?
Right.
And the question is whether a hipster would resent being labeled a geek or vice
or
versa.
Or how do hipsters and geeks relate?
I think, once again, you know, they're not these individual bubbles that it could be overlapped. They're just descriptors of things. But what does a hipster really mean? I don't even know anymore at this point.
Do you care?
I think, you know, if you want to play into the stereotypes, you know, people who are passionate, you know, wanting to know more about everything, want to be there at the beginning, and wanting to do everything right.
I also think this is a broad stereotype about hipsters, is you want to be sort of cool, so you don't want to be too enthused about anything. You want to be play it kind of, you know, low key. So perhaps that's a difference there. I don't know. Let me see what looks like Tish from East Hampton has to say. East Hampton in New Jersey. Go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that my 11-year-old daughter is a geek, and I love it. I absolutely, positively love her passion and enthusiasm for science. At the age of 5, her favorite movie was Contact, and we took clues from that and immersed her in astronomy, and her favorite thing now is weather. And at 11 years old, she can forecast. She has to pull up the SBC composite map and make forecasts for the day. And 95% of the time, she's accurate. Right now, she was considered a special needs child, but she scored off the charts in science and math. And her science project is literally how does barometric pressure affect a rocket's ability in speed and height for that particular day.
Wow. That's impressive, Tish.
She built everything on her own. And I really want to say I'm really proud of the geek culture acceptance because my husband's military, and we moved here seeking assistance for our daughter. We specifically asked for a location that could assist her in her needs, and the acceptance here in this area has been profound, and we greatly appreciate that because I see a future for my daughter, whereas when we were in Missouri, we were shunned, if that makes sense. They didn't have the ability to handle a child with her gifts, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense, Tish, and she's lucky to have you as her mom. Mm-hmm. That's really a great thing that you're doing for your daughter, and I'm glad that you found this very accepting community here in the Philadelphia area. Let me give our guests a chance to respond. Eric, anything you want to say in response to Tish's comment?
I just thought that sounded wonderful. That project, that sounds incredible.
Right.
I think it's really great that you're supporting your daughter's interests. That's just awesome.
But also, I mean, I think it's even larger than that, because if there is a culture, and if we're talking about a culture here, it's a culture of acceptance and seeing that, yes, her daughter may have this diagnosis, but she has these skills, and probably skills that we need weather forecasters to know what they're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Tish, thanks so much. We also have a tweet from Heather. Now that being a geek is cool, some geeks now call others weird. That to me means that's not a real geek. I mean, is there, I guess, a risk that geeks become so cool that they're not geeks anymore?
Oh, I don't know.
That's sounding like hipsters. Yeah. So that's the thing that I don't like within the geek community or just the population at large. So geeks are now cool, so that means they're not cool, so we're going to be, you know, we're going to be exclude them, and you know, it just brings us back to the beginning. So why not just accept people for who they are? If they like things you don't like, if they like things that suddenly become popular, if they like things that become popular later, who cares? What does it matter?
How about for you, Eric?
No, I agree with Mikey. Yeah, it's spot on.
Thanks for the tweet. You can tweet us at either at WHYY Radio Times or at Marty Moss Cohen. And you can give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Looks like we have Amanda joining us from Allentown. Amanda, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
My name's Amanda. I'm actually the feature-length indie film winner this past 2013. Just want to say hey, Eric and Mikey. And
they know who you are.
I just want to make a comment and say how wonderful Geekadelphia and the geek culture is in Philadelphia. And just the fact that they have brought together passionate people and connecting them within the Philadelphia area to our community. And also just the fact that we were just a part of the Philadelphia Geek Awards have helped us build credibility for our film, Your Unknown Filmmakers, and we've just been able to reach out to huge film festivals and connect with really well-known filmmakers just because of a small event that probably didn't think that they would make such a big impact on other people.
That's really nice. Amanda, thanks for the just a quick question. In a minute or in a sentence or two, what is your film about?
It's called The Backyard Philly Project. It's about the lives of four inner-city teens, and it's a documentary.
Oh, that's great. Well, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Mike, anything you want to say in response?
Well, thank you for all the great compliments. But you know, honestly, you know, we thank you and everyone else. I mean, if it weren't for all the people we nominate and award, there would be no show. If people weren't doing great and awesome things in and around the city, we would have nothing to do.
Yeah.
It's always tough to pick a winner, right?
In an
award ceremony.
Yeah. Thanks for being a part of our community.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amanda, thanks for the call to Radio Times. An email from Stephanie. Do they have any recommendations for colleges that focus on gaming and allow for geek passions? I'm assuming there's a college somewhere that teaches gaming.
Yeah, doesn't Drexel have a really great
I feel like Drexel's a name that keeps popping up. Granted, it's both been a while since we've been at college.
Because
we're so old. Yeah,
yes,
I'm ancient. Almost positive it's Drexel that has a really, really high-profile video gaming.
And for those people out there that are rolling their eyes saying, oh, gaming, gamers, educate them, Mikey.
It's a multi-million dollar industry.
No, I understand.
And you can get involved in it, you know, whether your interest may be writing or programming, definitely, art. Even, you know, community management or technical support or quality assurance and just even web design. These are all things that you can get into, and I wish we had more game development. I think the Philly Game Forge and studios like Cypher Prime are doing a fantastic job putting Philadelphia on the map. But I just wish we had more of it. I mean, right there, we struggle a little bit to think of a university that has a solid game program. So, you know, if we could say that all the universities that, you know, were relating to technology had some sort of game design program or development, that would be awesome.
I've gone to movies and seen trailers, and I look at the trailer and I think, is that real? Or is that a video game that they're turning into a movie? You know, it's like that line between what's real and what's made up is getting
blurred.
Fuzzier and fuzzier. Yeah indeed. Let me get, looks like Mike from West Philadelphia to join our conversation. Mike, go ahead, your Radio Times.
Yes, I just wanted to bring up kind of like the darker side of geeks and nerds. I mean, do you consider hackers geeks or nerds?
That's a great question, Mike, whether hackers are geeks slash or nerds.
Yeah, I mean, Mike? Philly has an incredible community around the hacker spaces that are here, like the Hactory and Hive 76. I'm sure I'm forgetting some, but I would definitely put them in the geek category because they're always very eager to share all the kind of awesome projects and unique things they're doing with other people.
And I have a feeling, since Mike says the dark side, that he thinks of hacking as stealing other people's stuff. Is that what you're talking about?
No, for me, it's hacking more in terms of taking something else and making it into something cooler and interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think just as with anything else, if you have a particular proficiency in something, it could be used for good and for bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, people have hackathons all the time to figure out creative and constructive ways to do something better for social good. Or, you know, hacking has definitely been used in the past for malicious intents.
Mike, thanks for the call. Let me see what looks like Chuck from Wilmington, Delaware has to say. Chuck, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, there. Chuck right here. I guess my real big basic question is, I have a daughter who's in college and out studying engineering, and she was on a robotics team in Wilmington, built robots for competition. Are there more male geeks than female geeks? I know that's a pretty tough question, but
that's a good one. Chuck, I'm going to take your call because we have kind of a fuzzy phone line. You wanted to know whether you have a daughter who's studying math and science and has been building robots and was curious whether there are more male geeks than female geeks. What do you think, Eric?
You know, it's almost hard for me to say because I feel like I have so many geek gal friends and that there's so many outlets for geeky women. I'm not even that sure anymore. I feel like maybe when I was younger, it sure felt like it was that way. But these days, they're everywhere.
Yeah, I still feel like a lot of fields, whether it be technology, engineering, are unfortunately still male-dominated. I think, like a previous email had said, you know, it's been Philly's been great for females interested in all sorts of things as well, and I think it's a thing that's changing. And in my opinion, it's just irrelevant, gender, sexuality, all that. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come mm-hmm. from. I mean, if you're into one thing, that's the tie that bonds us together, our interests in math, science, art.
Yeah, when it comes to women in technology, there's the Women in Tech conference that happens here in Philly every year. Mm-hmm. It's a good resource.
And when is the next Geek Awards?
Next Geek Awards will be the end of August of this year.
So you're accepting applications or
we are always open to people. Always open to people telling us about their awesome ideas and their projects. When the website relaunches, probably in April, mm-hmm. We'll have a form open that people can send in their tips.
Yeah, I mean, if you have, like Eric said, we're still in the middle of redoing our website with a form, and it'll be really easy to submit your nominees and suggestions for our categories. There's about 15 of them, so check it out. You can see some of the info from past years. We'll be celebrating our fourth Philly Geek Awards this August.
Great.
So you can email us at info@phillygeekawards.com.
Well, Mikey Iligan, thank you very much for joining us today in Radio Times. And Eric Smith, thank you very much as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about this program. We also appreciate all those tweets and emails and phone calls that we got during this hour of Radio Times. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of the show. It's produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Debbie Builder, and Emily Bryant. I'm Marty Moscoen. Thank you so much for joining us.